Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports, your home for the Roundtable. This week's guest is Jay Binkley.
What's up, Dustman?
Oh, it always happens.
There we go.
There you go.
Guess where the Fans football show's going next Friday, buddy?
Where is that?
Oh, I think you live there.
Blue Springs?
Lee Summit,
Friday
baby.
Night?
Chipman Road, Friday night, next Friday.
I'll be there.
Where the are you going to be football this Friday?
Stringlung Road out in Olathe.
Oh, Olathe this weekend.
We're doing Olathe.
Yeah, all right.
We're going to St. Joe in a couple weeks.
You are?
Buffalo Wild Wings, St. Joe.
Damn. You know? Wow, that's going to be great.
We call it the Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour.
Yeah. Okay.
We've done both the Metcalf ones, man. It was fun.
Yeah, you're hitting all of them. Yeah.
This is the Roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
It's not round.
No, it's never. It's an oblong shape, though.
Like I know how you love stats. I don't know if you were listening to the show when Mitch was on earlier.
Yeah, you want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's Mitch's stat.
Here's your stat of the morning. I couldn't believe this. I had to go back and look at this. I saw it, and I go, nah, that can't be right. There have been eight teams since 2001 that have been 6-0 and have had 10 or more giveaways. That's the Chiefs, right? We're sitting at 10 giveaways, and we're 6-0. But seven other teams have done it since 2001. How many of those seven have made the Super Bowl?
All of them.
Every one of them.
Mitch's stats are the best. I love going back and forth with this. Here's one point. 2018, DeAndre Hopkins had zero drops. Here's another one for you. And I'll credit Matt McMullen for this one.
2018 is like a generation ago.
Do you realize that DeAndre Hopkins, 69.1% of his catches have either been a first down or a touchdown?
69?
That's got it right at 70%.
No, it's 69.1.
Which, I heard you guys earlier, 69, Jared Allen would be my jersey,
perfect.
By the way.
Oh, it would be?
You guys are asking what signifies.
How many times have you worn the jersey 69?
I never have, actually.
Oh, you have?
I tried for it, though, man.
What number did you wear?
I was settled with 64. I tried to get 69.
I'm
now, we
sure
already
you
had
did.
A 69.
Yeah. When I saw that license plate yesterday that said Binks on it, I figured that was your car driving around. It was. You didn't wear a Binks 69 or anything?
It didn't have a license plate on it that says I honk for Hooters.
Yeah. But you're going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, I'm not talking about the restaurant.
Oh, okay. Leg piece?
When I was a kid, I played for the Blue Springs Bears. I was in, I was in third grade. We had to pick our numbers, and I said in front of everybody, I said, true story. I stood up and I said, they go, Dusty Likens, what number do you want? I said, my mom's favorite number, 69.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a true story.
That would be the
best. Did you have any idea?
No. Come on, you think?
No.
No. She went to the car and even, like, she just was waiting in the car for me, and that's when I got the sex talk.
Yeah, that is fantastic. The birds and bees. Did everybody laugh, or did the coaches just kind of turn away?
The coaches, like, where's his mom?
Yeah. Hello. She's single.
Right.
So, anyway, football.
Football.
You like it, right?
I do.
Yeah, you sent me a text the other day. I like football and beer.
Yeah, I just ordered a shirt that says, it's coming in Sunday. It says, I like beer and maybe three people.
Yeah, it's true. Am I one of those three?
Yeah, you guys are. Yeah.
All right, good.
You guys take two of the three, and mom's the other one.
So let's look at whose mom? Oh, your
mine.
Mom.
Stacy's.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm in that age range now where I like the moms.
Yeah, I do too. Who doesn't?
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you got to take your daughter to those concerts with the. You know, that's what I used to do when my kid was little. Like, you take an of a MILF. Like, took her to Hannah Montana one time. Like, it was everywhere, man. It was like, I didn't want to go to it, but then I was there, and I was like, look to the left of me, look to the right of me. It's like, oh, my God.
I have gone to heaven. We've been picking for 3 minutes. It's gone. Took your daughter to concert. You see all the MILFs.
Oh, Dusty, you're dirty, too.
Oh, of course.
You're the dirty werewolf. That's right. Always will be.
No, I love that. I just can't catch
my breath.
Oh, I mean, it's not a bad thing. Your daughter wants to go to this, you know, teeny bopper concert. Okay, I'll take him.
You take him down to the concert,
yeah,
right?
That's a lot of
so football.
Your mom here, kid?
Yeah. Hey, go get your mom. She in the convertible all tan. It's like the Shawnee Mission Northwest Cougars down here. They changed their mascot to a middle-aged woman. Get the
is that a soft top or a hard top? You want it to be a hard one? I got you. Jay like Binkley.
The,
Jay,
the cougar is no longer a cat.
Anyway, Chiefs Raiders this week.
Chiefs are, the ball.
Chiefs moist, are, Chiefs, moist.
No doubt about it. Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. You like that, or are you going under that?
I like that a lot. I like the fact that Chiefs, they always won. Detroit has one loss. Everybody else has two. Chiefs have none, but everyone's criticizing them. I love the Chiefs. And you know what? I
Binkley do like Jimmy Fallon on SNL right now.
I know. He really is. Yeah.
What's funny is Brock Bowers. I mean, remember this guy, how much we liked him during the draft, Bobby? He's the only guy that reminded me of Kelsey, but that guy's killing it.
Yeah. Like
Brock Bowers and Max Crosby, that's the two guys to worry about. And Bowers, because the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends.
You know, it was funny when we were at the draft party at the Landing, which, by the way, on the 9th of November, the Ben Maller meet and greet at the Landing. I get the Ben Maller chicken tenders. Mm. And we were at that party at the Landing. I was watching it with Tammy from the West and son-in-law, who's a Raider fan. And when Michael Penix went to Atlanta, he was like, oh, that was supposed to be our guy. That was supposed to be our guy. Think about the course of history if Penix is playing quarterback for the Raiders right now, because that's what it should have been. Atlanta swooped in and got him. And then they got Brock Bowers. I think that's going to be a pretty good pick. But they don't have anybody to give him the football, man. You know?
Yeah, but he's already getting up there. I mean, he's going to set the record for tight end rookie catches. The funny thing is, I was just talking to Drew about Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
shocker.
Like,
shocker, right?
I know. He's like, hey, let's talk Michael Penix.
You and Drew talking
No, but think about this, though. We talked about this quarterback class and how bad it is coming out. Right. And 2026 is even worse. I mean, that's when you got Nico and Avery Johnson. I mean, there's no top quarterbacks. But the thing is, maybe, and I'd probably give Atlanta too much credit, but if they're thinking this, it's smart. If they're going, you know what, there's no quarterbacks this following year. We got Michael Penix right here. We might as well take him and put him behind Kirk Cousins to groom him, because there is nobody next year. Now, I don't know if they were thinking that far ahead, but if they were, it's genius.
It's a Brett Veach type of thought process. It is. It really is.
Because we have nobody next year and the year after, and we expect to be better and not have a low draft pick. We got Penix sitting there. Let's take him.
Let's keep the narrative of this roundtable going. They're grooming the Penix in Atlanta.
That's right.
So I want to bring this up because I think this is interesting with DeAndre Hopkins. I saw how hungry Kareem Hunt was when he got a second chance here. DeAndre Hopkins mentioned yesterday in his press conference that he's, you know, ready to play, you know, meaningful football. You see kind of an easier way into this game, or is it just like, hey, man, you know how it works, Andy Reid. You find that the ball finds you almost immediately.
I could see him and Mahomes, you know, late night chatting or Zooming or even hanging out talking. All right, what are we going to do? Here's what we do. He's played 12 years. He even said yes. He goes, I know ball, man. I've been around this for a long time. I think he's going to be hungry. And I think they'll ease him in a little bit because he didn't play a bunch of he's like 45-50% of the snaps sometimes in Tennessee. I think they'll ease him into it. But it's like, can you get this guy ready for the postseason? Because I brought that up when I was with you guys Wednesday. Like, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
That year they won the Super Bowl in 19. And they won in 20, but 19. He averaged almost 100 yards a game in those postseason games. I mean, that's really, honestly, where you need him. I think they'll use him a lot more before that. But that's really the DeAndre Hopkins time. And not only that, he's looking for legacy, too. I mean, he's got everything. I mean, the guy's got over 12,000 yards. The guy's, 75 catches short of 1,000. Those are like Andre Johnson type numbers. He has 9 more touchdowns than Andre Johnson, who's in the Hall of Fame. I'm saying, you know, you get that ring, you start cementing things with that, but he's going to be extremely hungry. But he knows the route tree. I mean, it's the complex, it's the language they're going to have to use to get him on page, but he'll be fine.
See, I look at you and think when you talk about DeAndre Hopkins and whatnot, like, I think this is going to be big for him, and I think they are going to utilize him the right way. I don't think there's going to be much easing in for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, your definition of easing in may be 5 catches. My definition would be like 1 catch would be easing him in. Like, I think he's going to have somewhere between 4 and 6 catches for 75 yards, and I do think he scores a red zone touchdown for the Chiefs this week. I think
it's clutch, man. Just like I told you that Magnum. And stuff. I mean, it's almost 70% of his catches are first down or touchdown. That's somebody's clutch.
No.
I mean, that's the definition
is.
Of clutch.
And so I do believe that he's going to get the opportunity to be utilized a lot. And I can tell you just from talking to folks out there this week, it's just like how excited they are to have him, how excited he is to be here, and how he's already elevating that wide receiver room. He's gonna be the guy that Patrick Mahomes really hasn't had since Tyreek Hill. And you brought up Sammy Watkins as well. That was my first initial take. Like, I'm a Sammy Watkins truther. I love Sammy Watkins. Nobody can tell me otherwise, whether that's a bad take or not. But that guy filled a major role for this organization. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be that type of guy, maybe better than what Sammy was.
I think it's a more polished version of Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
They're getting to. I mean, that would be great if they were together. But the stuff that how Rice was starting to develop and what he was doing in this offense and creating those mismatches, I could see Hopkins doing a lot of that as well. Maybe spread it out. We got, you know, Xavier Worthy still running down the field to open up the middle more for Kelsey and guys like DeAndre Hopkins. But there's nothing better than actually being able to catch it, move a first down before Matt Araiza has to come in and punt it again.
Right.
That's the most frustrating thing in the world, these interceptions that are bouncing off hands. I mean, that was a 13-point swing. I know Juju had a good game.
Right.
But they didn't exactly cover him either. He was wide open in that game. But San Francisco would have covered him a lot more. But, you know, that ball bouncing off his hands and going to Colin Saunders' hand. Mm-hmm. They scored a touchdown, missed the extra point. But that was a 13-point swing. I mean, that stuff starts to add up, man.
And how much more relaxed is Patrick going to be, too? Because he knows he now has two guys that he can legitimately rely on to catch the football.
He's got number one and number two active streaks catching the football right now on his team. That is insane that he is 168 for Hopkins, 164 straight games for Kelsey. Kelsey had a stretch of 117 straight games with three catches. That ended this year when he just got that one. DeAndre Hopkins has a catch in every single pro football game he's ever played. I mean, when you're sitting there with one and two in that chart, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, that's wild. My gosh. Yeah, when you think about how good this team just became on paper. Now, you got to go out there and obviously do it. But, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins had a knee injury like Devontae Adams had a hamstring injury. It wasn't those things that were bothering them. They had a quarterback injury. They didn't have anybody getting them the football, and that's why their numbers are down, and that's why people go, oh, look at the numbers of DeAndre Hopkins, like that Rob Parker.
Yeah. Compared him to the Jets. He was talking about the Jets. Really? Yeah. The Chiefs are, you know, shopping cheap and stuff. Huh?
Yeah, the Chiefs are not shopping cheap at all. They're out there going out and making their roster better. But the reason why the numbers were down for those two guys is because they didn't have quarterbacks to give them football. Now you're all of a sudden in an offense with Patrick Mahomes. His numbers are going to be good.
It's like just the flip passes and thing. He's always thinking outside the box and what he's doing. To be honest with you, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but last year I thought was Andy Reid's best coaching job because of the talent, the wide receiver. When they get to the postseason, they played number one, three, and four scoring defenses in the NFL on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the most impressive things. Even though the offense got a lot of crap last year, they went on the road in the playoffs and beat 1, 3, and 4. The reason they didn't beat two is it was themselves. But this year's, I think, his best coaching job. When you go to training camp thinking you're going to have this wide-open, spread-out offense with Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and you're going to have Rashee Rice on your team, then all of a sudden the reality hits you and you don't have any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to shift to what you're doing, and you're doing four tight end sets and the 14 personnel and everything they're doing. Like, Andy Reid is adjusted. I mean, what he's doing with this offense, I think this is Andy Reid's best year coaching.
It's bizarre to think that Andy Reid is getting better at coaching when he's been so great at coaching. And other coaches should look at Andy Reid and go, okay, how do you do this, right? Because Andy Reid is a master. And I know you'll tell me about Chris Ault to the day you die.
Yeah, pistol offense.
But when Andy Reid brought him in because that's what Alex Smith was comfortable in and Andy wasn't real comfortable with it, so he hired the father of the pistol offense to come in here for a couple years and help him out. Like, Andy Reid has shown you can teach an old dog new tricks, and every other coach should learn from Andy Reid because he coaches to his talent. He doesn't make his players adjust to his style.
Yeah, he's a big fan of college football game and the intricacies that go into that. And the Chris Ault thing, the pistol, there's only two guys that got anything out of Alex Smith. It was Urban Meyer at Utah, and it was Jim Harbaugh when he was there. The only two guys that had that manual and had it. Then Andy Reid, of course, had that same manual. But he brought Chris Ault in here just to be a consultant because I want to learn about this. I think Alex can do good in this pistol. I want the guy that is responsible for this offense in college football. And then the next year it was just exclusive. Like, he could consult with anybody that one year. Then it was just exclusive with the Chiefs, which I think was interesting. But Brett Veach even said on McAfee, was it last year right after the Super Bowl, about how much film Andy Reid watches in the college game. Like, how interested he is in seeing what they're doing. And they're obviously watching what he's doing because you see a ton of goal line, you know, underhand passes to the tight end in college football now. You see a lot of Chiefs offense in college football.
You know what DeAndre Hopkins' last playoff game was?
KC.
That's right. that big blow up game against Houston Texans.
He had nine for 169 yards in that game.
No, he had 9 for 118.
118. Okay.
Yeah, get that number out of your mind.
But sorry, Dustman.
He had a 64.3% catch percentage.
That's close.
Yeah, I think he's going to be big this week. I think he was picked up in the right time, Raider week. You know, the circle in the stadium, the Muppet, everything like that. I think this. I don't know. Mitch doesn't think it's going to be a blowout. He says these guys play him tough, which it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I know that Mahomes never lost in Vegas. His record against the AFC West is outstanding. Raiders have only beat him here twice last year on Christmas Day. I think he's still got some sour, you know, taste in his mouth from that game.
Sure. Chiefs won 9 the last 11 games, 18 the last 22 against the Raiders.
Right.
That was really bizarre, that puppet thing. The guy that did that, that's the biggest shock.
Is he still
shock.
On the team?
He is. His name's Trey Taylor. He was the funny thing about him is he's actually a really good dude. I mean, he graduated.
He's like a Naval Academy guy.
He's an Air Force Academy guy. He's going to be a pilot.
Oh, nice.
But he has that loophole where you go straight to the NFL. The new rule is you have to do 2 years of military service, then go play pro. But he was grandfathered in where he can go play pro football, then do his years of active duty later. But a highly thought of guy. I mean, that was just very surprising for him because he did graduate from Air Force Academy and will be a pilot.
Right. But somebody, I mean, it was so like done by the crowd more than it was done by the player. But that doesn't matter. We can't let the facts get in the way of a great story.
It's just the adrenaline and everything.
Gave it to him and everybody look, okay, now you're mocking Patrick Mahomes. But that's the thing with Patrick Mahomes. Like, you do anything like that appears to be mocking, he is going to use that to his advantage and use that to rub it in your face when the game comes.
All he needs to do is turn on Twitter. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Like this anti-Mahomes stuff. And I mean, it's everywhere. This guy's one of the best in the game. Dealing with all this crap.
Why do you think that is?
Everybody's jealous of every little thing he does. I mean, they want to bring up the sideline run that he had, but they don't want to talk about him getting jabbed in the throat.
What was wrong with the sideline run? What am I missing with that?
Well, he did it within the rules, and San Francisco had plenty of opportunities to shove him out of bounds. They had plenty of opportunities.
Apparently, you can't do that in the NFL.
No, they're saying that he got too close out of bounds and faked going out of bounds. They're calling it a rope-a-dope. They're calling it a loophole against the rules.
Like, I don't think he really faked it. Listen, like Kenny Pickett.
I've never heard that. Remember the Speaks play with Tom Brady when they were like, he thought he was like forward or like he was down, and then Breland Speaks let him go and he got a touchdown.
Right.
Same concept.
Well, Kenny Pickett. Assume, because you know what happens when you assume.
Ask that of you and me.
Right.
Kenny Pickett did it in college. It's called the Kenny Pickett rule, where he fake slid and completely then he stood different. Up and kept running. Completely different. But he was sitting there doing the fake, you know, toss and the fake lateral with everything. Like,
that's your fault for falling for
it. I've seen plenty of times where he's been shoved out of bounds, and it's been late, and they haven't called it.
Well, we saw a throat punch, too. Yeah, oh, my God.
Not a punch. It's like the Undertaker choke slamming him. Yeah,
but I can't believe people. Like, I totally missed that conversation this week because it's stupid.
Oh, all my friends are like, it's not really that impressive of a play. Loopholes.
Officiating sucks, man.
No, it's serious, dude. Yeah,
just watch that Rams game last night. Rams-Vikings game.
How about that? No, the officiating doesn't suck. They're doing what they want. Who needs? They need L.A. to be good, Jay.
If that would have happened to the Chiefs. Oh, my goodness.
Did you spit your chew out last night when you saw that no call?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a kind of type.
Do you and your mom share the same can of dip?
No. My mom doesn't dip anymore. She uses Red Man on the side, a pouch. Yeah. Mixes it with bubblegum like Brett.
Yeah. Is it Levi Garrett?
Levi Garrett.
That's another one, that Applejack flavored one.
I once chewed Kodiak.
I'm still going back to this. People are like, oh God, people need lives, man. Like, seriously.
No, they really thought that. Like, I'm dead soon. I remember this suit. I think it was actually Sunday night when that came out, where they're like, this play is.
Who's leading that parade? Is that a Florio topic?
I mean, it is getting out of control when they bring this stuff up, but they're not bringing up that he's been in the AFC title game every year as a starter, which I will contend he would be 7 straight had they put him in halftime in that Tennessee game that they barely lost the playoffs. But here's the one thing about Mahomes that's never mentioned. He's got 15 postseason wins. The all-time leader in postseason wins is Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes. Joe Montana's got 16 postseason wins. Patrick Mahomes has 15. He'll easily probably pass him even this year.
Right.
And then he's number 2 all-time before he's even 30 years old. That's the only thing that matters.
How many does Tom have? 30 or
35.
Something?
35.
Okay.
But in Belichick has 31 postseason wins. Andy Reid has 26. Right. I mean, that Andy Reid is very close to him. But the bottom line is, after this year, you could be just looking. The number 15 should be talked about more than anything, the 15 postseason wins, because that's all that matters.
Well, he's 15-3 in the playoffs.
15-3. It's insane.
It's remarkably unbelievable. I mean, he probably has the best playoff winning percentage of anybody, right? Because he's only lost those three games. But, like, you know, he just
two of them are in overtime.
He continues to do things each week that just dazzle you. Like just like when you think you've seen it all, he has that 33-yard run, or he beats up Mustafa in the end zone. Like, I can't wait to see what he does this weekend, because I know this has been a circle game for them since the schedule came out.
What's on your TV tonight? Yankees, Dodgers, Boise State, UNLV.
Ooh.
UNLV Boise State will start about at the sixth inning, 9:30 game.
9:15 game, but I'll get home probably about 8:30 or something from the show. So UNLV, Boise State. I want to see Austin Genty run. But I'll be watching the World Series too. It's kind of funny how the
Dodgers, Yankees.
Heisman favorite, Bob.
I'm going to go Dodgers in this series, but I understand why they delayed it, because if games would have gone to Game 7. But
yeah, seriously, no, it's the networks.
But that's out of sight, out of mind, man. When you go that long, it's like I have to remind people, hey, the World Series is tonight. Oh, I thought that, you know.
The most watched World Series was 1978. 44.8 million people on average watched each game of that World Series. Do you think we get 15 million watching this one? No,
there were seven channels back then.
Right. Four, right?
One of them had Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters.
They're still on
somewhere. That was the Yankees in 78, wasn't it?
It was Yankees Dodgers, 78. How many millions, what kind of number? Do you think we get close to 20 million people on average watching this World Series or not?
Yeah, considering it's L.A. and New York, and L.A. has a terrible cable deal where they can't watch their team. Now they can, because it'll be over there. I don't know, man. They're not the best markets for sports, believe it or not. I mean, Kansas City, Cincinnati, all those areas watch sports in a more of a clip. Will the rest of the country care?
Yeah.
I know that New York and L.A. will probably care. I think 15, 16 million.
Yeah, that seems about a good number. Yeah, but just think about that. 78, 44 million people again, because there were like six channels to watch, you know?
And then tomorrow's going to be dominated with college football on Saturday, because five games versus ranked teams.
Of college football. Man.
Colorado going to be okay against Cincinnati?
How many shirts are going to sweat through?
I think so. I like what Colorado's doing this year, a ton. And I think
Cincinnati's good.
Yeah, they're 5-2. It's a good football team. But, man, Colorado, man, their defense is shocking everybody. Arizona learned the hard way on that this weekend. That is a much different team this year.
One more win, they're bowl eligible.
Right,
no Brady Cook in Tuscaloosa. Big trouble.
It is tough.
Take Alabama all the way.
And Noel, the running back. Alabama's look.
Sounds like a slaughter.
This was the year to beat Alabama, too.
This was the
Vanderbilt
year.
Vanderbilt did it. Alabama looked like crap last week.
Simpsons did it.
Jalen Milroe has not played like you thought he would. Kalen DeBoer, they're starting to yell about him in Alabama, bases, because if you don't win, you suck.
Tennessee Mack still thinks his team can win the Natty.
Damn right.
They're still in it.
It's wide open. I mean, you just have to make the tournament.
Best defense in college football.
And Nico will be one of the best quarterbacks in this 26 class.
Thank you,
Johnson.
Sir. Yes.
Yep. There you go. All right, Binkley. We'll enjoy Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. Next week, I'll come see you guys in Lee Summit, I promise.
Hey, you're the prince of Lee Summit, man. You got to be out there.
No doubt about it. Jay Binkley, everybody. Guys. Mr. 69 himself. By the way, real quick, I did have the garage beer last night. Fantastic.
It's good.
Crushable. I had the lime one and the regular
smooth.
One. I'm going to get a six-pack of both, I think, either tonight or for Sunday. Very good.
It's very good beer. And I'm not a huge beer drinker anymore, but I had that. I'm like, this is really good.
That is the perfect shower beer. That is the perfect 100 degrees in the middle of July. You just got done mowing the lawn. It's good for any time.
It's
very smooth beer.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm with you. I saw, this is really good.
Not mad about it. All right, I just had to get a beer topic in there real quick.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.